Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. This week, things are going to get uncomfortable. Literally, strap in. Aha! It is to laugh, because we are talking about tucking and binding. Cis folks, this one includes activities you can do right in your own home. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the only lady I'm happy to bind myself to forever, Susan Bridges.
Wow.
It was a bit of a stretch, that one.
Hello.
Our guest this week is Liam Cobales, a queer Filipino trans man that works as a localization producer and comic creator. With his background in traditional animation, he moved out to Los Angeles to tell trans, queer, and Asian American stories. When he's not working, he spends his time with his loving partner and three cats. Welcome, Liam.
Hey, happy to be here.
It's great to have you. And okay, I wanted to ask, first of all, for folks who don't know, if you wanted to explain exactly what a localization producer is and all of what's involved with that.
Yeah, of course. So localization producer is basically I assist in translating and dubbing foreign content into English. So things like Squid Games, anime, from feature to series, we kind of collaborate with the original creators in making sure that everything is properly translated and meanings between different places are sort of contained still.
I imagine that would be really difficult because of the cultural context, even not just outside of the different words translating, but different things mean different things in different cultures and parts of the world. So that must be a really tough job.
It's a very much collaborative job.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful to be working with like a really wonderful team of various writers, various actors, various engineers. I'm very fortunate to have landed in this position because not only am I learning things about various cultures, but also being able to talk with different people and how they ended up in localization. It's a very niche profession, but I wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest.
That's really cool. 'Cause, yeah, I mean, it's so interesting, I think, a lot of times culturally, but also artistically, to see the different art, the different cultures from around the world to make, and we need more of that. And to really understand it, it can help understand each other so much better. So it's really cool. That sounds like a really fascinating job.
Yeah.
Okay, so for you, what has been the best thing about transitioning?
I think for me, it's definitely something that has allowed me to self-reflect a lot. I feel like when I realized I was trans, I really broke down sort of what it means to be trans and kind of understanding to me, what does transness look like?
Yeah.
I mean, there are various, like, at the time, I think when I realized I was trans back in 2016, 2015, so nearly 20 years ago. Not 20 years ago, I'm sorry. 10 years ago.
That's okay. Math is hard. I get it.
I realized I was like, wait, I wasn't 5 when I realized I was trans. I was like, but yeah, it's sort of that thing where I saw various stories during Tumblr when Tumblr was very big in like understanding transness. Sort of just the thing of, oh, to be trans, you have to feel gender dysphoria. You have to feel like you don't belong anywhere. You have to feel like you have to hide yourself and become someone else. And at the time, I feel like I did fall into a lot of those stereotypical trans feelings. And not to say that this isn't invalidating other folks' experience, but for me, I kind of felt like I had to be those things to feel at one with myself, and it wasn't until later on in my transition I realized, oh, I don't need to like tick every theoretical box. It's sort of
Right.
what makes me feel comfortable with myself and
Yeah.
my expression of myself.
Yeah, there's a lot of that out there, I think, especially, we've talked about that on this show in the past on the episode about transmedicalism and things like that, where people feel, a lot of folks feel there's maybe only one right way to transition, or you have to do X, Y, and Z to consider yourself trans or whatever. And it's easy to fall into that at the beginning, especially when you don't really know. So it's a process, I think, for all of us that we learn and figure that out as we go, that we don't have to fit any of those things. We can just be whatever is right for us, do whatever's right for us, and be whoever we really are. So I'm glad that you got there.
Yeah, and it's definitely one of those things that even now I still find myself still exploring. And I think that's the uniqueness about transitioning is that for me, I don't know about you, it sort of never stops, really. You're just always finding new things about yourself and sort of what you feel about yourself.
I mean, has it helped you also? Like, for me, it did this, but it helped me learn more about myself even outside of my transness. I understand myself as a whole person so much better because of figuring out that I was trans.
No, I agree. I feel like there are definitely some things that I sort of played into, like breaking the binary of like, oh, I do like these things, but not just because I identify as a guy, but because I just think they're cool. Like the stereotype of like, oh, boys like cars. I do not care for cars. They all look the same. They all have four wheels in theory, and like they make loud noises and they get you from point A to point B.
It's all true.
I sort of like, I don't even know if this is like a mass thing necessarily, but I found I was really drawn to like rocks. I just like rocks. I think they're cool. I think they're neat.
Rocks are cool.
Like I wouldn't say I know like all the gemstones or all the different types, but I'm just like, these are cool. I like the shapes, I like the colors. And it was sort of those things of like, oh, that's a weird trait to have. And I guess it's sort of like, oh, I don't know if people will clock me as trans if I was like, oh, I like rocks. But I think that's more of like, oh, you're kind of a nerd if you like rocks.
It would be pretty great though if that was the way. Like, do you like rocks? You're trans.
But I think another thing would definitely be comics. Like, obviously, comics is a very mass centric field. And I sort of had like a weird, like love-hate relationship with it, because most of my love comes from manga, which is a Japanese comic book form. But the Western comic book form, like with Marvel and DC, it weirdly is very like toxic in the sense of like if you're not a cis male, it's kind of closed off at the types of communities you can enter. At least when I was in high school, I feel like now it's more open, it's more accessible. And it wasn't until I was older hearing like, oh, there are like queer comic artists or like femme comic artists. I was like, oh, so there is a place that I can belong. And it doesn't have to be like the superhero heavy action sort of stuff. It could be more slice of life. It could be more comedic. It could be sports driven. There's like a whole different world that I didn't really see as much, but now I'm starting to see a lot of it. And I think it's really cool to also now be in a place where I do have the capability of like drawing and writing these stories myself.
Yeah, a lot of comics, I think the whole industry it was very bro focused for so long, and it was always, especially in the US, very much about superheroes all the time. But comics is a medium, right? And it's a format that you can tell stories through, and superheroes don't own it. Even though I love superheroes and they're cool, they're not the only things that you can do with a comic book. So yeah, it's so
And we're
much more than
writing
that.
comics now,
We are.
and they are not bro focused.
They are not. Okay, so on the flip side of that, what has been the worst or one of the most difficult parts of transitioning for you?
I would have to say at the very beginning, it was sort of hard to kind of be vulnerable in the sense of like telling others, because obviously that's always the biggest thing is like telling other people how you feel, especially your loved ones, because at the time there was less acceptance or at least less understanding. I know when I came out to my parents, and my parents are immigrants from the Philippines, they didn't fully understand when I told them that I was trans. Part of it was I feel like a language barrier. Other parts were just like they just didn't fully understand the concept. And it kind of led to a lot of miscommunication that was mostly me just being afraid of sitting down and having that serious conversation of like, look, this is who I am. And if you don't love and appreciate this, then I'm not changing for you. I might like have to cut myself off from you. And this is like something I had to like bootstrap myself into thinking like I might not have a family at the age of 17. And it's like, thankfully, I feel like more kids now can be more open and have at least the bound like the necessary tools to have a very accepting support group in case something like this happens. Even with the current climate, political climate we're in now, I still find folks being very reaching out and heavy on community, which I think is like very important.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I think it was sort of that initial fear of like there is that thing of you could lose everything and it will hurt. It will definitely hurt. But it's sort of the thing of you're kind of weeding out those that don't really want to fully embrace the true you because they like the certain aspect of you. But then when you decide to change, they're like, oh, we actually don't like that. We want you to stay the same. Then it's like, do you truly, genuinely love me then? Because even if you aren't trans, you're always going to change as a person. It's just inevitable. But I think with being trans, it's more physical, mental, emotional. Like it's more out there than it would be for a cis person. So I would say like even when I think about it, I still find myself tearing up of like, yeah, that was a really rough time. But if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be who I am and where I am today, I feel like.
And it shouldn't be this big scary thing for us, right? It should just be a normal thing that we can tell people, but our society doesn't make it that way. And even with me, I knew all of my friends were good, accepting people. I knew that Susan here, my wife, was, and everybody, but it was still terrifying because you never know what somebody maybe has hidden or doesn't even realize about themselves, about how they feel about trans people until it happens. And so it's a really big, scary thing, and it is really tough to deal with. And community is super important. I'm glad that you mentioned that because we can help each other through in so many ways that we can't get through alone. So,
Yeah.
all right. Well, before we dive into this week's topic, do you want to let folks know where they can find you online after listening?
Yeah, you can find me at Natural Min at Blue Sky. I also am on Instagram occasionally and trying to consistently post my art under the same Natural Min account.
Excellent. Okay. Caveat, as a trans woman, binding isn't something I've done or have any experience with, but it's the other side of the tucking coin. So, what the heck are tucking and binding? Very generally, tucking is what some people who were assigned male at birth do to hide the penis and testicles. Binding is what some people who were assigned female at birth do to hide breasts. Why on earth would we do that? Well, there's a few reasons, and it can be a combo of them or even something else entirely. Also, trans men and women aren't the only ones who employ these techniques. Many non-binary, agender, and gender-fluid people also do it. One of the big reasons for those of us who have it is gender dysphoria, which we discussed in episode 59 of this show. If a trans woman's secondary sex characteristics make her dysphoria worse, she might want to hide them just so she doesn't have to see them and be reminded. Hiding the penis and testicles provides for a more typically cis feminine appearance. Even if a trans woman wants bottom surgery to alleviate this issue, the wait is often years long. Tucking may help in the meantime. Also, maybe you've never considered this, but women's clothes are exclusively designed for cis women, which means there's not room in the crotch for stuff, which means when wearing women's clothes, those of us assigned male at birth are faced with some problems. It can be really uncomfortable or even downright painful. On top of that, as the clothing wasn't designed with room for crotch junk, said crotch junk can show in ways clothes designed for cis men might prevent. There are even specifically undies to help trans women with this, which you can learn more about in episode 25 of this podcast on trans freedom and underwear. And let me just make it clear that if a trans lady wants to show that area off, that's her business. How many cis men wear pants that are too tight for exactly the same reason? If they get to do it, so do trans women. And this isn't the only thing some cis people do that they have no problem with, but throw a fit when trans people do it too. Check out Cis People Get Gender-Affirming Healthcare 2 in episode 22. But even if a trans woman doesn't want to talk, it can also be an issue of safety. And I suspect you can imagine the added danger we'd open ourselves up to in public by being a woman who had visible crotch junk in her pants. It's a big flashing neon I'm trans sign. Now, I'm not ashamed of being trans. I love being trans and I don't hide it. I'll probably never really be able to pass for a cis woman anyway, which is an entirely different and complicated issue that you can learn about in episode 34 on misgendering and passing. But considering the epidemic of violence against trans people, especially us trans women, anything that can minimize that is a good thing. So tucking is also very much a safety issue. And for more on so many of the hurdles we jump through just to not be harassed or assaulted, listen to episode 74 on boy mode and girl mode. We shouldn't have to do those things just to make ignorant, violent cis people leave us alone. But this is the terrible society we live in. Okay, Liam, so I wanted to ask, what has your experience with binding been? Did you do it?
I did. And I will say I did it both the safe way and the not safe way.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people honestly would actually know of binding from Mulan because of how
Yeah.
Mulan had to sneak into the army to pretend to be a boy. She had to essentially use medical tape, which in history it has been done, but obviously there it's highly not recommended as there's a lot
Yeah.
of issues with breathing, possibility of like damaging your rib cage. It's
Yeah,
not
yeah.
the safest thing to do, but a lot of people tend to do it because it is at the time cost effective and
Yep.
it's easy to kind of like that of like, oh, of course someone needs medical bandages because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
I definitely tested it out in high school and nearly passed out a handful of times.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it again is something that there was not a lot of awareness, especially for
Yeah.
someone at my age. So
Sure.
I just thought of like, oh, this is just how it has to be. And obviously when I got a little older, I was like, oh, I should probably not do this for the rest of my life. So I ended up getting a binder from a company, I believe the name is G2, oh God, GC2B, where they also sell binders. And a lot of places where you could buy binders from, they do have like a discreet packaging for
Yeah.
safety. But I believe at the time what I ended up doing is I had a friend who I asked, can I have this mail to your place? And then you could bring it to school. And they did that. And
Right.
again, it's another important thing of like community being able to like have these people to kind of help you with these things if you know that even with the discreet packaging, it might not be safe to keep in your house.
Yeah.
Community in that sense is another great way to do it. The thing with binding for me is that I'm Asian. So like I didn't really have a lot of assets, if that makes sense, growing up. And I
Sure.
even was a late bloomer. I didn't start puberty until I was 17, near 18. So
Oh,
nothing
wow.
was really developed at that time. But I was told that trans men had to bind to present more masculine. And
Yeah.
growing up, like I had people already confuse me as being a man or a boy because I was so flat chested. And I sort of wore the binder as more of like assurance to myself rather than actually presenting as mass. And it wasn't until the conversation kind of came with like me and my friends in college who sort of were also transitioning in their various ways. They were talking about top surgery and the aftercare, and I was like, oh, I should probably look into that too. And one of them was like, well, why do you? You don't really have anything to take away. And it wouldn't make sense to throw all this money on something that isn't necessarily, not to say it's not going to do anything, but I personally had never really felt discomfort with my body in that sense. I never had body dysphoria. I just kept the binder as more of a reassurance of an assurance to myself and my transness. And when my friend told me that, I stopped wearing my binder. And to this day, I haven't binded, I haven't done top surgery, and no one's noticed a difference. A lot of people even now think I'm just like a cis man, which is interesting to me because I've held on for so long the need to have a binder and change how my body looks when I didn't necessarily need it, at least for me. Like it, I've had friends who, to them, binding is like what gets them through the day. And some of them even wore like a tighter binder because they felt like their current binder didn't flatten them enough. And there is also a safety issue with that of like, you don't really want a super tight binder because it's essentially the same as the ACE bandages. It restricts airflow and can cause long lasting damages. But I think it's just also an interesting thing of I've had cis women ask me about binders because they feel like to them it's a more, how they phrase it to me, it's a more secure sports bra in the sense of it can help flatten them and not feel so, I'm trying to remember the words they put it, like exposed. They feel like it's just too much and they just want like something to just slim them down a bit, which I found interesting because it is for that purpose, but they're still very much comfortable with the idea of like, I am a cis woman, I'm proud of being a cis woman, but the binder just helps me feel more secure with my body, which is something I never really would think they would need for that purpose, you know.
I mean, I think it's important to realize and remember to folks out there listening that, like Liam was saying, you don't have to have a binder or wear a binder or do any kind of binding if you're a trans man, unless you want to or need to. It's entirely up to you. And I didn't know that some cis women would want to do that, but I guess that makes sense because I mean, it's just about bodily autonomy, right? We all just want to feel at home in our bodies. And so even cis women or cis men can do these things if it makes them feel better. It's about finding what's right for us across the board for everything.
And I think like I was also a cosplayer back in the day, and binders were like well commonly used across the board from cis men to cis women, trans folks. And it was kind of just this thing of like, yeah, if you want to like cosplay this character who's super flat chested, like get a binder. It is one of the necessary things that you would need for cosplay. And honestly, a lot of like, my binding knowledge came from my cosplay community back in Chicago. Yeah, it's sort of interesting of how like a lot of my understanding of trans culture comes is very tied to nerd culture or pop culture in that sense. But yeah, I think it's just one of those things where there is like a black and white version of like what a binder is supposed to do and represent. But like anything in this world, it's not just black and white. Like it is inherently a fabric of clothing that you put on your body to do a thing. It's the same as a t-shirt, it's the same as like pants. It's just used in a specific way, but anyone can necessarily use it.
Absolutely. Well said. All right. So now you know why we do it and roughly what it is. And I bet you're wondering, how does one do these things? Well, remember when I said there was something you could try right in the comfort of your own home? I should warn you now, there's nothing comfortable about it. Guess what I'm going to ask you to do today? Ta-da! Okay, listen, There's not a lot of being trans that cis people can actually experience for themselves. Although, see the essay on gender euphoria at tillystranstuesdays.com because that one you definitely can. But tucking or binding is something you can do, as we just talked about, some cis people do. And I want you to because it will give you a little more insight into some of the things we deal with. I actually want you to try it. You, cis person who is listening right now, once this episode is over, you have homework. All right, cis dudes, are you ready? You're a manly man, nothing to be afraid of. You can do it. I believe in you. Here we go. Did you know that humans have a little opening, I guess, for lack of a better word, in the abdomen? It's called the inguinal canal, and in assigned male at birth, folks, it's basically right under and kind of behind the penis at the top of the scrotum. Oh no, weird medical crotch terms. You can learn more about it at a link in the show notes. If you gently, gently poke around there, you should find it. And here's where the fun comes in. You know how your testicles maybe move around in the scrotum a little bit? There's room for them to do that because they like to party. So let's party. Gently, gently push them up into the inguinal canal. I hear your screams from here, but it'll be fine as long as you're careful. Spoiler alert, they've probably already been in there, like when it's very cold or at other times when they recede somewhat. One goes up and in on each side, and then you pull the penis down and back to rest between your butt cheeks. Don't pull too hard or too far or wedge it in there hard or anything, but that's where it goes. If anything hurts, you're doing it wrong. It should be uncomfortable. It is definitely uncomfortable, but not painful. If it hurts, undo and try again. Then you pull your underwear and pants back up, and voila, your junk be hidden. Well, mostly. Okay, so you successfully done your first tuck. Now what? Try walking around. Try bending over. Try sitting down. Now imagine doing that for an hour, 2 hours, 8 hours, all day, every day that you have to leave your home, or maybe all day, every day if it makes your dysphoria better. Welcome to a tiny portion of the trans woman experience. Oh, and anytime you have to pee, guess what? Undo and redo all of it, every time. And you may notice that things are popping out. Yep, you have to use things to help hold it all in place. Some people use tape, ouch, or sports tape that's at least meant for skin. Some use a gaff that goes over the underwear. And again, some use specialty underwear that's meant to smooth the area over, as discussed in that Trans Freedom and Underwear episode. There's even now something called T tape, which is meant exactly for this, but I have not tried it. But all of this is to flatten the front appearance and help keep everything tucked away without popping out. Before I had enough tucking undies to use every day, I had to remember to put them on if I was going out because regular underwear would not work. And stop and imagine for a minute if every time you left your home, you had to remember to pause and think about what underwear you were wearing, and then very likely have to go change them just to go to the grocery store. Isn't that fun? For cis women to try binding your breasts, you know how a sports bra really flattens out that area? That's a good start. There are binders made for this specific purpose, but they can be expensive. You can also try doubling up a sports bra to get more compression, but you have to be really careful because obviously you are restricting your chest, which means if you do it wrong or too tightly, you can injure yourself. Either way, it may somewhat restrict your breathing, and this is what trans men and some assigned female at birth non-binary people have to do every day. You can read more about safely binding your chest at a link in the show notes. Okay, so Liam, on the times when you did bind your chest, what was that like for you? Like, how uncomfortable was it? How did it make breathing? And do you have any tips for folks that might be trying it for the first time?
At first, I wasn't sure what size to do, so I
Yeah.
went with the option of getting like something that would definitely fit snug. And I think the first one I bought was a little too snug.
Yeah.
I would wear these at school, so I would also have like a backpack full of textbooks. I'd be running back and forth to my classes because of the 5 minute grace period they give you to like go from class to class.
Yeah.
And there were definitely days where I was out of breath just walking through the halls
Wow.
because it was binders aren't necessarily meant for high activity like a sports bra
Right.
would do, like you mentioned earlier,
Yeah.
because it's supposed to be more secure, not like to make it snug. It's supposed to like flatten everything. So definitely when I say if you're binding for the first time, I would try to do like a test period of like maybe do a leisurely walk for like 2 hours, see if it kind of fits. If it's definitely already, the moment you put it on, like you're already feeling like you're holding your breath, that's too tight. It's not supposed to feel like you are restricting your breathing like that. It's supposed to just lay snug, just holding everything back just a little bit to secure. And like I said earlier, like just take a leisurely walk, try to test it out. If you feel comfortable with that, you can wear it for longer. I've just been told never keep it on for more than 8 hours. 12 is probably the max you want to do, but then anything over is too much. It's going to be really hard for your breathing. Definitely do not fall asleep with them. I have done that once and it was very bad. It was
Oh
very hard
no.
to wake up in the morning. You feel very winded, essentially,
Yeah.
if you do that. Because when you're asleep, you can't really control your breathing. You're kind of on autopilot. So if you're kind of forcing your autopilot state to just be in that restricted pressure at all times, it's just not going to be good. You're not going to have a fun time. Other pointers, I guess I could think of when I was binding would definitely be try to avoid getting it wet, because it's similar to like when you get your pants wet, like that denim and
Yeah.
heavy weight, that's going to essentially do the same thing to your binder. There are now binders that are meant for swimming,
Oh,
which
wow.
you could easily find. They are definitely more expensive because they're made of a different material and
Sure.
mostly for the purpose of swimming. But those are now available, which I think is really cool because I definitely did not have that before when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And I would also say, and I know this is tough because summer is when you really kind of feel like you need to wear it because you don't have as many layers to kind
Sure.
of cover your body and like make you, I guess how my friends put it, like have no form. Like, you have those like oversized baggy clothes to just make you look like
Yeah,
a blob. It's hard
yeah.
to do that in
Yep.
the summer. And obviously, when you're binding, that can be a health hazard as well. So even if it's hot, I would try to avoid binding those long hours. I would say at max, maybe do 4 or 6. It depends on how hot it is, obviously. If it's like a nice 70, probably fine. If it's hitting like the 80s or 90s, I would definitely highly recommend to not bind a full day. Even a half day is probably a little too much, but it depends on how much you're going to be out and about.
Yeah.
Because you could
Yeah, we
definitely
do lose a
easily get
lot
a heat
of,
stroke.
we get a lot of air, I guess, like cooling through the chest area. And so the more covered up that is too, you're going to overheat in addition to not being able to breathe a lot. So yeah, that's great advice.
I'm trying to think of anything else, but those are the big ones that I would say for someone starting out to just like keep in mind. And then just again, don't like try to get something that is definitely snug but not tight. That is like the biggest thing I can probably say to anyone that's finding for the first time or trying to figure it out is never tight, just snug.
Excellent. Yeah, tucking and binding are both really important for a lot of people, but they can be dangerous if you're not careful. So whatever you're trying out there, folks, go slow and be careful. I also want to mention that there is a flip side to this because before hormone replacement therapy made my breasts grow, I wore silicone breast forms in my bra. Why? Well, a couple reasons. One, it lessened my dysphoria a lot. It made me look and, more importantly, feel like the real me. But second, and I've talked about how buying an entire new wardrobe is expensive. So you can check out the privilege, time, and money topic in episode 32 for more on that. So if I bought women's clothes that would only fit me when I had no breasts to speak of, that might not fit me anymore when that changed, and I just cannot afford to replace every item of clothing I own twice, much less the once that I already had to. And that meant that grabbing a $30 pair of fake boobs to drop in my bra was the most economical solution to helping me get clothes that would hopefully fit me for a while. Even though we all know women's clothes don't last that long, see episode 15 on heavily gendered clothes and trans people for more. I stopped using those breast forms about 6 months into medical transition because I didn't need them anymore, which made me incredibly happy, but I'm so glad that they were there for me early on because they really helped. And for those who are assigned female at birth, the corollary to breast forms is what's called a soft pack, a soft silicone penis and testicles can be situated in the underwear, and they do it for all the exact same reasons. Do you have any experience with packers, Liam? How do you feel about them? Do you have thoughts?
I did get a packer once because it was again one of those things when I was early transitioning. It's
Sure.
like, oh, you have to have a packer.
Right.
It to me didn't really do much, if that made sense.
Sure.
For a while, I was like, wow, this is really cool. But it kind of just felt uncomfortable to me because I was so aware of something down there that I wasn't
Yeah.
before. And I was like,
Right.
wow, is this what it's like every day to just have something in between there? And I've talked to this male friends of mine, they're like, yep, it's just like that. And I was like, wow, this is not it for me personally. I think I kept it for a while, but then when I moved out here to California, it suddenly went missing. And I was actually talking about it with my partner the other day. And they're just like, what happened to it? I was like, I don't know. I just hope it's not left in one of my previous apartments for someone to find, just like
What a
sitting in
thing
the
to
closet.
find. Yeah.
Yeah. But I have some friends who do use Packers, and to them, it is just an abundance of gender euphoria. Some
Yeah.
Packers are built to be also like STPs, which is essentially a stand to pee cup
Sure.
that allows you to go as if you are standing up. And then there are other ones where you could also use it for sex as well. But again, it's under to your preference. The soft packing, as you mentioned, is more just for that comfort and that feeling of having a penis.
Right.
And I guess for me, it's sort of that thing of for me identifying as a trans man, I don't feel like you necessarily need it. I feel like
Sure.
for me, the hormone therapy, I do in a way have one. It's just not the stereotypical one that I think a lot of people grow up with a lot.
Sure. Yeah, and for all of this, it's important again to remember that you don't need to do any of this to be a trans woman or a trans man or any flavor of non-binary. It's all about just what makes you feel better and what's right for you. Now, are there negative long-term effects of tucking or binding? There is suspicion that routine tucking could lead to infertility, but there's no hard data. Folks who use binders regularly may end up with back issues. Would it surprise you to learn that nobody really knows because we're not considered important enough for these things to be studied? Hell, almost all of HRT exists because the drugs were developed for other reasons for cis people and then also had applications for trans people.
And also, there's like so few trans people. It's just that you
We're not
often,
profitable enough to them.
exactly,
Yeah.
you hear from other people, everyone's being trans now to make money for the medical. Like, and it's like, really? No, really? Yeah, that's just
That's
silly.
insane.
They're silly. We're not serious people.
Well, thank you for being here, Liam.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
If anyone out there in the medical community would like to start specifically studying how these things affect trans folks, or possibly even develop medications actually intended for us first and foremost, that'd be super. But until then, we'll keep tucking and binding and doing the best we can with what we have because it's so much better than the alternative. Anything we can do to get to a truer us. Tilly Bridges, End Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky and on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, and you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. If you enjoy this show, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The largest segment of our listeners find the show there, and more reviews equals a higher profile, which means it will reach more of the people who need it. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.